B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, sci-fi, video games, pro wrestling. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds! Nerds! Nerds!
You're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's Nerd Radio, wherever you get in the podcast, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network, and all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. Are you trying to throw me off there?
No, I will tell you exactly what happened there. I didn't get YouTube up quick enough to do my normal level check before you hit the production. I was like, you know what? This is not a professional show. I'm going to do my level check while we're live.
Just going to do it now.
Just going to
check it on the fly.
Yeah. In fact, I could have done it during the production, which would have been easy to
cut out
and post.
Cut it out easy.
Yes, but I actually intentionally waited for you to open the show.
Living troll. Al Beck.
Only for you. I'm a really nice guy to everyone else I've ever met.
Fair. It's fair. Yeah. I mean, how did I get lumped in with Ken? Like, it's me and Ken. And I know Ken is mean to you, so that I understand.
Al's like Britney Spears, but instead of just a slave for you, he's a troll for you, Chuck.
Just wait.
He's a troll for you.
I just found out yesterday I'm your board op this weekend. Just wait.
Well, maybe I just won't show up and you can... what, are you going to fire me for my weekend show?
My name's Chuck Veen. I'm your host, joined by human troll Al Beck. And the man who had the defining moment of his lifetime this past weekend.
I demand to be referred to as John Cena's BFF for life.
For life.
For life. That's my new name. That's what you can address me as.
Yes. If you guys, and I can't imagine that very many of you who listen to this podcast don't already follow James on social media or hear him on the Dave and Chuck
Are we
Big
opening
Show.
With this?
Yes.
Or talking. All right.
Yes.
Let's get this going then.
But if you haven't heard, James, do you want to tell people...
Yes.
What your Sunday was like?
My Sunday was an immaculate day. The universe opened up and delivered a gift. And I had a moment, a very intimate moment with John Cena. Yep. He touched my hand when I passed him the microphone.
Did you guys meet eyes at all?
Yes.
For a
brief moment, we both looked at each other with an expression of shock.
Yes.
I was probably more shocked than he was. I think he was just shocked that he forgot to grab the microphone from the person that was holding it when he ran into the theater. So,
sure.
To give everybody an idea of what happened. So, Sunday, there was a pre-screening, like a press screening of the Suicide Squad movie. And the people that put on the press screening knew they needed the biggest fan of John Cena in the Detroit area to introduce him to the crowd. They wanted an appropriate introduction to let these people know what John Cena has accomplished and why he's there. And they looked... probably to about five other people, and they settled upon letting me do it, would be my guess. And so they had me get up in front of the crowd to ask a couple of trivia questions, get everybody hyped up about being back at the movies and being able to see the Suicide Squad before everybody else, more than almost a week early. You know, you got to see the, turn it up, blast it. So I didn't
realize that was you at first, Chuck. I was like, what did I do?
No. So, I know this song so well, I know where the hook is, and I was waiting for it so I could just nail it. Yeah. Sorry, please continue. No.
So I got in front of the crowd, and I cut an amazing intro. Which I'm only saying it's amazing because I've been complimented by many people.
Right.
I'm not usually that hot on myself.
Yep.
But when Meltdown, the living legend himself, comes up to you and says, hey, great job with the Cena intro, that means something.
You're right over
that
there,
means
Al?
Something. So to get a Fine. Compliment like that. Also, Lisa Wythe said I did a phenomenal job. I got a lot of comments from people on social media about how good the intro was. Nobody, maybe they didn't notice my voice cracked when I said, John!
Yeah.
Cena!
No,
you
nailed
it. I was
from
talking for 3 hours the night before on a stream on my Twitch channel. But so he ran in after I did the intro. We embraced. And he took the mic and then I let the master do his work.
Embraced.
I went and sat down and watched the man work. And he introed the movie. He thanked people for coming out. And I will forever be John Cena's BFF.
What I will say, what I would love is the difference in the storytelling if John Cena told the same story.
I think it would be very accurate.
Very close.
Identical. Well, what I think is funny is he's probably like, you know, James is like, we locked eyes. And John Cena like, I was looking where I was walking.
If you go to my social media, you'll see the moment where he's got a surprised look on his face, and I have a surprised look on my face, and we met eyes. We made contact.
Yeah.
That was when we embraced.
I will say that I wanted to bring this up, that the thing that surprised me the most is something that you had also mentioned, James, is how similar you two are in height. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I thought he'd be like towering over me.
That is always my favorite thing when it comes to meeting wrestlers, is how tall are they?
Right. And sometimes they're taller than you expect. Sometimes they're shorter than you expect. Because like a perfect example of when they're taller than you expect is I remember when I met Stone Cold Steve Austin briefly. Yeah. Like, I remember watching him on TV, and he was, like, he seemed like he was one of the shorter guys, but he's running around with, like, The Undertaker and all that, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, like, you meet him, and he's, like, 6'3 or 6'4 or something like that. He's, like, a tall dude!
Yeah.
But he's just shorter than some of the other ones, so, like, I meet him expecting him to be maybe a little bit taller than me, but he's towering over me, you know?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy, because I figured he'd be so huge. You see him on TV, you see him in the movies, he's this huge, massive guy. Now, he's still a massive guy, but we're about the same height. I felt like at the theater, I might have had an inch on him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like an inch or two.
Yeah, when you were standing next to him, I was like, I think James is a little taller than John Cena.
Yeah, because if you look at the photo, he kind of like runs in and his knees are bent. He's in some sort of like stance. Mm-hmm. So in the photo, he is actually shorter than James because he's crouching a little bit. But we actually looked up his height.
Yeah, he's 6'1", so we're the same height.
Yeah.
We're exactly the same height, but I felt like I was a bit taller. But even when you see him in the Suicide Squad movie, he's tall. He seems he's just a huge, tall, massive guy.
Yeah.
But then you see him in the theater and you're like, oh, we're about the same height, huh?
Yeah.
And that's the thing you never think of, too, when you go to a wrestling show, which we'll get to because that happened as well. But like that, you know, that ring is about 4 to 5 feet off the ground anyway. So that makes everybody look taller because they're up on a stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're looking up at them almost, you know, if you're on the floor, you're looking up at them. Or, you know, where on television, the guys with the cameras are on the floor.
Sure.
So it makes everybody look like they're huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, but I will say it's a really cool thing when you get to meet a hero, and it goes well.
Yeah,
you know, I think all of us for James are disappointed that there wasn't more of a conversation.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't like, hey, nice to meet you, and the handshake, and like the hug, and the kiss on the cheek, and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
It was just I did an intro, but it was for me. It was cool to be a part of that, like to hear the audience in the theater, like,
didn't expect that,
you know, and to be able to be a part of that.
You
big
got
surprise,
a little bit of a John Cena pop,
absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's cool. Like you got to, even though you didn't get to sit and have a conversation with the man, which you would love to do, obviously. Like you got to share like an actual Cena moment that wasn't just an autograph signing.
Exactly.
You know?
I felt like I was a part, you know, I was now a part of whatever this surprise. Like I felt like I was part of Cena's thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like it made me feel like I was more involved than just like, I always think of, was it The Fifth Element when is it Chris Tucker's character does like a little meet and greet?
Yeah, right.
And he just dips a paintbrush in paint and walks down the line and just stripes a little bit of paint on people's autograph books. And like that's what it feels like sometimes when you meet some of these celebrities.
Yeah.
So for me to actually bring him on and be a part of that whole surprise, like it made it feel much more valuable, at least to me personally.
Yeah.
What I'm taking away from that metaphor is that quite possibly after John Cena was done, him and James walked out of the theater and James was like, hey, thank you, man. He went,
I sat in my chair and I watched the movie and I didn't get up until my phone started blowing up. I was getting texts from Dave Hunter and Jason because they're trying to tell me that Cena was in a movie theater or whatever, and I
was, you're like, I know,
I was there. I intro'd him and
he touched my hand.
Yeah, we embraced for a moment.
I love that. That's my favorite because he just said he was reaching for the microphone and brushed hands.
He didn't have to touch my hand. That microphone was plenty big enough. That microphone was plenty big enough. He could have grabbed it without making any kind of physical contact.
It was literally 1 second, but it was like one of those slow-mo things in a movie where like the music swelled up.
The whole song. Sometimes when we touch.
Yeah.
The honesty's too. Yeah. That whole song played out that moment. And then I was like, oh, I better go sit down now.
I think it was probably Electric Six's Danger High Voltage.
Oh, yeah.
When we touch. Yeah. When we kiss.
Yeah.
That's funny. But yeah, no, that's cool, man. And like
that's
you said,
amazing.
It's nice to have like a different sort of experience rather than just a meet and greet.
Yeah.
Well, the meet and greet would be cool, but it's kind of like the thing I equate it to is another little perk that still is here in radio is like sometimes you broadcast live at a venue, you know, and it's like I remember I did that for
That like?
Yeah, well, it's like you did it for promotions.
Right.
Silver linings, I guess. but like I broadcast live from a Slash concert and I wasn't able to stay for the concert, but I got to go see him soundcheck.
Right.
You know, and that was just like he did some soundchecks, and then he just started soloing.
It's like a personal concert just for you and the few people that are also allowed in the room.
Like me getting and eight other people.
Getting to be in the arena when the band is soundchecking is kind
of pretty cool.
It's definitely a perk of being, you know, on the promotions team or whatever in radio. Mm-hmm. It's when you go to see a band you're really excited about and you hear them soundchecking. You're like,
similar. You didn't see the show, but you saw like a really cool thing that
you saw something only a few people saw.
Very intimate.
And that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Amy was beside herself.
Oh, she was freaking out.
She was so upset that I couldn't come with her and that like she didn't basically force me to go. She was absolutely, and I was like, I'm happy you got to be 10 feet away from John Cena and you got to see a cool movie.
Yep.
Like it's a bummer, but I'll maybe next time.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to.
Next time when somebody invites you to an advanced screening of a movie, Chuck, you should take them up on.
I should. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yep. That's what I blame myself because I don't want to leave the house.
We'll all meet him at James's wedding reception since they're such good friends.
Yeah, they're BFFs now.
Yeah.
So
he's the best man.
Yeah, he's my best man. He's going to give the toast and everything.
There'll be plenty of opportunities now.
You just might not actually be able to see him when he gives the toast. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. Pool party at James.
Yeah. Don't worry, guys. John Cena's right there. Just listen. And I'll take words from his little speech when he introduced the movie to make it sound like. But there is actually.
His speech pattern is very strange.
Yeah. There is a line that I'm going to pull.
That is a good idea for a t-shirt.
Where he says,
Cena's with me. You just can't see him.
Yeah.
That should be a t-shirt. Yeah.
But he does say, I believe in James.
What?
Gunn. He's talking about James Gunn when he's introing the movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull that little drop out.
So
everybody knows that John Cena believes in me much in the same way I
believe
in you.
Have to put that on your stream deck for your Twitch stream.
Yeah.
So people can just hit you with
it. That's going to be his ringtone.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I believe in James.
I believe in James.
I believe in you too, John Cena.
He's just calling himself from his desk phone just to have a conversation with Cena.
You put the music to I Believe I Can Fly underneath it.
Yeah.
I believe in James.
Yep. I don't know what he believes in me for, like I'm some sort of mythical creature, but I'm glad that he believes in me.
So you got to see the Suicide Squad as well.
Yeah.
Let's not overshadow that. What are your
spoiler-free review
thoughts?
Awesome.
Yeah.
It is. So I love it because I feel like I'm just as entertained as when I see some of the Marvel Cinematic Universe films.
Awesome.
But it's different because this, to me, is like Marvel Cinematic Universe for adults.
Yeah.
Like swearing. It's got the R rating, dirty humor, some of the killings and the way some of these people get killed, hilarious, but also darkly like disturbing.
Did you say it feels more like the Deadpool movies?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would say like they took like an adult graphic novel, but not in the adult term like it's XXX rated novel. Like a Boys or an actual. Like,
it was a Vertigo comic.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a comic made for people over the age of 18 to read and enjoy, and that's how they translated on the screen. I think James Gunn did a great job writing, directing. I'm glad that the Warner Brothers gave him so much leeway to do whatever he wanted. Like, he made Polka Dot Man, to me, seem like a really badass dude.
Sure.
Like, you could tell Polka Dot Man's been through some stuff. But, like, he, like, kicks ass and, you know, rises to the occasion to become a hero. I will say, don't get attached to any members of the Suicide Squad.
Yep.
Because Suicide Squad lives up to its name. You don't know what's going to happen. There's so many twists and turns in terms of people that you expect to see at the end of the movie not making it to the end of the movie.
Huh.
Some of the big name people that you would expect to live much longer are die in an instant. You're like, holy cow, what? I don't believe that. And some of the different characters that they picked, it's funny, I'm wearing the Suicide Squad shirt right now.
Yeah.
That they picked, you know, to be on the Suicide Squad. You're like, what are their abilities? Oh my gosh, that's what his ability is?
Yeah.
You know, like the detachable kid, you know, like he's one of the characters. And I'm like, oh my God, that's what his ability is. That's awesome. That's crazy. On top of that, like I think Cena held his own in a majority of the scenes he shared with Idris Elba.
Sure.
Like, Idris Elba's that guy delivers.
He held his own. His comedic timing was like right on, delivering his lines. He looks ripped as hell, and he spends at least a good 60 seconds in just his whitey tighties.
Nice.
And if he's not wearing a stunt wiener, congratulations. Like, congratulations, John Cena. Well, you won the dong lottery, because holy cow, you're packing some heat.
Well, you remember when he was in Trainwreck years ago, and he had the scene with the towel.
Yeah.
So everyone was like, is that real?
Congratulations. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, Amy had said the only complaint she had is that at one point Idris Elba is talking to the character Ratcatcher, and they both have kind of thick accents. Mm-hmm. So it's like she's looking forward to watching it again with subtitles.
Okay.
When the opportunity comes up.
To see what exactly they're saying. Yeah. And then I highly suggest check it out. Like, to me, go see it in the theater. But
that was my other question about it. Is this a movie you gotta see in the theater?
I would say so. Yes, I think you'll have a good time. It's nonstop action. It's 2 hours long.
Yeah,
a little over 2 hours, and it felt like 45 minutes, maybe.
Sure.
Like, they keep the action going. There's and so many twists and turns, and it's some of the way they set up scenes too. Like, you can almost tell if you're familiar with like the way you write a story, with the way a plot would go, and here's, you know, your
right
different points in your plot, and they set it up exactly like you would see set up in a graphic novel. Like,
that's cool.
They'll make things that happen in the scene spell out, like, here's the beginning, you know,
and yeah,
what's going to happen next, but if they actually use stuff within the scene to make words, like, it was very well done.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I'm looking forward to it.
That's out this week, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be available in theaters and on HBO Max starting Friday, which technically might be Thursday night. Like, so when you're done listening to Midnight Metal with Al and Chuck,
you can just
turn on the Suicide Squad. It'll be the perfect follow-up to the Midnight Metal this week. Like, I highly suggest you go see the movie.
I just like that we get a plug for Midnight Metal.
I love the cross-promotion.
No, you're welcome.
All right, well, let's take a short break. That wasn't the only thing we got to experience on Sunday, because then the WWE had a live house show.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit, as well as the wrestling news of the weekend. There were two stories that were absolutely massive.
Somebody who got let go?
Yeah.
Oh.
That just, like, took over Twitter over about a 48-hour span. We'll get to that next. It's Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Pause that game. It's time for more Nerd Radio.
I don't want to see it.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio, part of the B-Pod Studios Network, and on social media at Nerd Radio 101. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, and you can find us on YouTube if you want to see our smiling faces documented in some of the archives of our show. Chuck Bean, Al Beck, and James all hanging out and talking about, well, we were talking about the new Suicide Squad movie, which you got to see on Sunday, but part of the reason John Cena was at your showing was because he was going to be at the Little Caesars
Arena. Part of the Summer of Cena tour.
Yep. On Sunday night, and I know that I was there with Amy. I know I saw your pictures. You guys were down on the floor. Yeah. I know that Justin and Janelle were there with Janelle's kid. They were out on the floor as well. It's funny because where we could see where we were sitting, they were right in front of us down on the floor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, when Sasha Banks' music's hit and Justin's all, like, dancing to it, I'm like, I took a picture and I sent it to him. I'm like, you nerd.
That's funny. It's like the pot calling the kettle black there.
Well, a little bit. A little bit. But, yeah, it was a non-televised event. It was a house show. And it was they took both rosters, Raw and SmackDown, and basically took the strongest, the top of the card for both rosters and brought them all together.
Which surprised me. I'm surprised how much top talent actually was in the building.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't expect Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair to be there.
Right.
Seth Rollins, I didn't expect to be there.
Yep.
I mean, this show kicked off with Big E and Seth Rollins going to town.
Yeah.
But one thing I did realize, with it being a house show and not being televised, they spend a lot more time trying to hype the crowd up.
Yeah.
Trying to get the boos and the cheers and competing with one another for the attention of the crowd. Yeah.
Well, they don't have the time constraints of commercial breaks.
Hey, you've got 8 minutes, and then it's a hard out because we've got a 3-hour or 2-hour show to do. Mm-hmm. But it does enhance the theater aspect of it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, they're much more animated. But also, they do a lot of stuff that they probably would get yelled at if they did it on television.
Absolutely, yep.
Like you were talking about in the first match, Big E is constantly... kind of a ham. He's part of the New Day. When Seth Rollins' music hits and he's in the ring waiting for Seth to come down, he's like playing drums on the turnbuckle to Seth Rollins' music and just goofing around and having a fun time.
Yeah. It's fun to see them kind of get a little out of their character but still remain within character during the house show.
Yeah, I love the when you go to a live event, they'll usually do a match after they tape Raw or SmackDown, and that's called a dark match. And I love those, and I love house shows because it's just a bunch of dark matches. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to Justin over on the One Fall Show podcast, the wrestling podcast we do. He's more like, he likes the story, the week-to-week story of stuff. So he would, going into it, he was like, I don't know. I mean, the story's not going to move forward at all.
Yeah, you're not going to see any titles change hands.
Yeah, like some of the matches were title matches, okay, if I was 8 years old, I'd be like, oh, my God, I could see the Intercontinental title change hands. But I know that's not going to happen. It's not on television.
Mm-hmm. I do want to say, too, MVP. So I had an interaction with MVP.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
waiting
right.
to get in the parking lot. So he's driving in his car, and I'm going the opposite way of him. But we're both stuck in traffic trying to get into the parking structure. And I'm like, I look over, I'm like, oh, that's MVP. Yep. So I hurry up and roll down my window, and I just do, like, the most childish, "Hi, MVP." Yeah, let me tell you, I've never seen a man look more annoyed in his entire life. So I don't know that it was him just trying to stay in character as MVP, but he literally just like looks over and he's like just the most stink face you could ever like muster, and like barely just waves. He's got a grown, almost 40-year-old man. "Hi," Forrest Gump waving like right in his face.
"Lieutenant Dan, I got you some ice cream."
Exactly. That's exactly. And he gave me the Gary Sinise Lieutenant Dan reaction.
Yeah. Yep.
Threw that ice cream cone right into the bedpan.
Yep. Yeah. Which, you know what's so funny is I also want to think about that from his perspective.
Right.
He's trying to get to the venue to work. He's stuck in traffic. He's got to park in the stupid structure with all the,
with
all the
people
who are going to the thing.
Right.
He's probably like just not having a good day. And then he sees a nearly 40-year-old man. "Hi!
Hi, MVP!"
So, like, maybe he's an a-hole, but I'm not necessarily going to make that judgment based on that story.
I'd like to believe he's staying in character. He also may have looked over and been like, "Oh, one of John Cena's Make-A-Wish kids are here."
Yeah. He's like, "That was so cool that John Cena let him do that intro."
Right,
Make-A-Wish
the
Foundation
theater.
Thing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. They let him in, and they're letting him drive. That
sounds
risky.
They're letting him drive. Yeah.
It's funny too that
just on Tuesdays up and down the driveway.
Right. It's funny too that it was specifically MVP because he was one of the surprises at the show that I was like, man, Detroit really likes MVP.
Mm. Yeah.
Like they started an MVP chant.
Does he have some sort of roots in Detroit?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Because I know he was a part of that wrestling thing that I did commentary on for that one night.
Right.
He was one of the wrestlers that they had booked to be a part of that too. So.
But it was like, that's cool. It's always fun when you're in the live crowd to find out that like, hey, my city really likes this mid-carder.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
They're really into him.
Apparently he is from Miami.
Speaking of mid-carders, let's get to the big news in the wrestling world, which happened on Saturday. We found out pretty much via Twitter and Facebook that one of my favorite wrestlers of the last couple of years, Bray Wyatt, had been released due to what they're saying is budget cuts.
That's a name that I've heard, but I don't know anything about.
We haven't seen him since WrestleMania. Randy Orton set him on fire last December in a match.
Who hasn't done that?
Right, they had a match.
I haven't lit the Fiend on fire.
But yeah, his most recent character was the one that would do these backstage segments like a Mr. Rogers style character, and then when you had to fight him, he would be the Fiend, and he would come out with this like Joker mask and this super dark. He was the heir apparent to the Undertaker as far as
okay,
I was concerned.
See, he's the one because I know Aleister Black also has kind of a dark side to him,
right?
Okay, yeah, so I've dabbled a little bit because of those stupid A&E documentaries, and then I'm still dabbling because of the stupid Broken Skull sessions.
Right.
And that was a guy where I'm like, if I'm going to be watching this crap, at least he's around somewhere. And I had I hadn't seen him at all.
Right.
He had never shown up since I had watched a little bit, and now he's gone.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, they released him. It was weird too, because through the weekend, obviously you hear the news on Twitter that they've released Bray Wyatt, and then a couple hours later on Saturday, it's like, well, maybe that wasn't real. And then eventually WWE.com has a article saying that
they officially announced.
Yeah, they officially announced
ways or whatever.
But that's something that Justin had brought up when I talked to him during the house show, is that usually when they do that, they give somebody's real name, not their mm-hmm. character name. And I think a lot of hopeful fans were like, well, what if they released Bray Wyatt, but the Fiend is still under contract? Like, what if it's some kind of weird kayfabe thing?
I didn't think about that.
Right.
Interesting.
And then, as much as I really appreciate the guy and the character and stuff like that, I don't believe that's the case.
No, I think, and I'm only drawing this conclusion from a post that Mick Foley posted about how the WWE is losing such a brilliant, talented guy. All the stuff, all these great things that he was able to do as a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
And he kind of alluded, like, I hope he gets the help that he needs or whatever. So I almost wonder if he's either injured or he's really dealing with some sort of a mental situation.
Well, it did come out after WrestleMania, after he left again, that we hadn't seen him in a while, specifically because he was extremely close with Brody Lee.
Oh, that's right.
Who was Luke Harper in the WWE, and was when they first got called up to the main roster from NXT, they were a group called the Wyatt Family, and Bray Wyatt was like this backwoods swamp wizard cult leader with these big bearded men that would just beat you up while he sat in his rocking chair and like gave these amazing Jake Roberts like promos. Like, he's very intelligent, very good mind for crafting story. And I also remember reading that some of the people who have worked with Bray Wyatt, like say Randy Orton or John Cena or something like that, that have worked, you know, fairly hard to make sure that to get the character over, are kind of like, man, what the hell?
Yeah.
One of the people that actually had tweeted something out that I've got here is Ronda Rousey had tweeted out after Monday's Raw, where people were actually chanting, "We want Wyatt," that you're the same fans that were chanting, "We want Beach Balls," when she was wrestling and he had a match on a pay-per-view card where he was wrestling Matt Hardy, and people just weren't paying attention to the match because they weren't into the story.
Oh.
So she was basically lashing out at the fans over, you know, like basically saying, "It's your fault." When really it's...
Oh, I don't think it's the fans' fault.
I don't think so.
I feel like as a professional wrestler, even if they're chanting, "We want beach balls," if you're out in the ring, you're happy that you're getting some kind of a reaction. It might not be the reaction you personally want.
Right.
But there's still...
I feel like it's definitely the WWE dropped the ball, because as I've said to Amy when we talked about it on the drive to the show, like, this is a guy who has had to basically recreate himself at least 3 to 4 times in the WWE, because... he has this really good character. He gives these really good promos, and then they just like have everybody run right over him, whether it's Roman Reigns or John Cena or whoever, Randy Orton. Like, he doesn't pick up wins. And if you were booking The Undertaker like that, people wouldn't have cared about The Undertaker.
Right.
It was a matter of, when it was The Undertaker and Kane, they were these monsters that you didn't beat them, you survived them.
Right. Yeah.
And they never gave him the opportunity to do that. But once again, the same thing we said about like Aleister Black, who's now in AEW. Like, it's cool that we live at a time now where somebody like that has options.
Oh, yeah.
That they can go and still be on television and still, you're not going to maybe make the, you know, millions of dollars you were making at WWE, but you could still make hundreds of thousands of dollars working at one of the smaller promotions. Mm-hmm. And he's definitely, out of all the people that have been released this year, he's the one that I don't care where he shows up. I have to tune in every week.
Mm-hmm. How many wrestling companies right now do you think have a national product? Because they still have regional, smaller stuff.
Right.
And some of it's maybe televised, but...
you got the WWE. You've obviously got AEW, who's working a very similar thing. Impact Wrestling has a television show, but they mainly broadcast out of the same place. They don't do a lot of touring.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. It's the same thing with NWA has their YouTube show. That's the one that Billy Corgan is funding.
Oh, okay.
And they just use the same studio.
Yeah.
I think
I would consider Impact still as a national product.
Yeah.
Especially with the inclusion that AEW has.
That's the thing
them,
is that so. A lot of the people who aren't WWE are all playing nice with each other now. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, it, you know, something like a GCW doesn't really have a national product.
I forgot about those guys too.
But last Wednesday, Nick Gage showed up and brutalized Chris Jericho in a hardcore match. which was something I was going to bring up. Did you guys hear about this at all?
No.
So no, I fell asleep, actually. I'm so mad. I fell asleep.
Yeah, so this Nick Gage guy is works exclusively for Global Championship Wrestling, I think it is. And he's
That's usually what the C stands for.
It's not Game Changer? It's Game Changer Wrestling.
Okay. But they did a Dark Side of the Ring about this guy. This is the guy a couple years ago who, like, nearly died in the ring because, like, a light tube punctured his lung. And he wanted to get back in the ring and finish the match. And he's like, just, you know, tape me up and let me finish the match. Like, no, you have to go to the hospital before you bleed into your lungs. This is also the guy that during a WrestleMania weekend a few years ago for a I think it was a GCW show, like, got into a tussle with David Arquette.
David Arquette was going up against in that. Does he always just do like death match style?
He always does death match style stuff with light tubes. And his big thing is he takes a pizza cutter and runs it across a guy's like forehead and cuts him open kind of thing. But that was during the AEW thing. That's why it actually made the news, is because AEW will do this thing that all the shows do now where they'll do picture in a picture and play the commercials on one side and this on the other. Yeah. And right when he did the pizza cutter thing, they went to commercial, and the first commercial was a Domino's commercial.
Brilliant timing, if you ask me.
Domino's was super pissed.
Yeah.
But, like, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. But back to my original point, like, at least these guys have all these different... There's probably, like, I'd say four.
Okay.
That have, like... Because you also have... Ring of Honor tours, but they just have like a syndicated show.
True.
That's on at like 2 a.m. here in Detroit City.
Oh, you have to let me know when that's... When is it on in Detroit?
It's on like, I think, Channel 62 at like 2-3 a.m.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I want to see Danhausen, you know.
Yeah.
You know, fans of Danhausen. He wrestles for Ring of Honor.
Danhausen is over there. Yeah. And, but the other big news was on Monday, the release of Ric Flair from the WWE.
Crazy.
Which...
He comes and goes.
It's true. And I can kind of see if you're a guy that just works in the office.
Yeah.
And you're just counting, you're just pinching the pennies and you're just counting the money, looking at the contracts or looking at the money that's going out and going like, why do we pay Richard Fleer so much money? He's not on the show. Like, what does he do for us?
He reads commercials for car insurance.
Car insurance, right.
Very badly.
But yeah, and he actually tweeted out yesterday that because there was speculation that the last time we had actually seen him on our televisions was with Lacey Evans. She was feuding against his daughter and revealed that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And it was like, are you implying that Ric Flair got this woman pregnant?
That's the implication I picked up, and I was like, this is really weird, guys.
And people had thought that was like...
Plausible, though.
Yes.
Yeah, well, he is Ric Flair.
Yeah.
But he had tweeted out that there is no hard feelings. He requested his release from WWE. They didn't call him and say, hey, we're going to let you go. But he has a different vision for his future than what they had. So
he probably wants more TV time. He wants to be used more. He wants to be involved in storylines. He wants to make that bank instead of making whatever money that they're...
I know that Erica, who we had on the show a couple weeks ago that we talked about wrestling with, I talked to her for the One Fall show this week, and she said that he's been seen on social media hanging out with Jim Ross a lot lately, and Jim Ross obviously works for AEW.
Right.
Arn Anderson, who was part of the Four Horsemen, and Tully Blanchard both work for AEW. Like, I'm sure that all these people talk.
Yep.
In fact, Aleister Black is one of the guys, Malachi Black now, said that he was in contact with Brody Lee before he'd passed away when he was in AEW, and Brody would just go on and on about, like, it's such a breath of fresh air to, like, do your own creative thing, to not have people tell you, no, we can't do that, or you have to do this thing that's absolutely stupid and you know isn't going to work.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see...
creative freedom there.
Yeah, Ric Flair showing up over in AEW at any point in time.
It would definitely give them, some attention if Ric Flair goes over there. But I also kind of feel like... It kind of reminds me of just what WCW did.
Oh, sure.
So I feel like...
There's absolutely... You know, there's a very large contingent of that roster that used to work in WWE now. They've got Christian. They've got Matt Hardy. Mark Henry's over there. But a lot of them, Mark Henry, Paul White, formerly the Big Show, aren't in a wrestling capacity there. They're literally
commentary,
there for...
Color commentary. And
yeah, for commentary and for coaching, you know, managing and stuff like that. You know, to basically help the young guys with their knowledge, their years of knowledge. But yeah, gonna be real strange to see Ric Flair popping up everywhere. And that's something else Eric had brought up too, is that at one point they do those StarCast, those big like wrestling conventions where they get a bunch of wrestlers. And at one point, either last year or the year before, Mark Calloway, who is the Undertaker, was going to show up at a StarCast, and WWE shut that down.
Yeah,
and those are fairly nice paychecks to go and do a convention. You know, I mean, we're going to be at Astronomicon in a couple of weeks. And there's plenty of AEW wrestlers and wrestlers that are showing up at that. So
Sammy and Darby Allin,
Mick Foley will be out there. It'll be really fun. But yeah, so that's what's going on in the world of wrestling right now, and I said the Bray Wyatt thing just knocked the wind out of me.
Yeah, I was shocked because, I mean, you can still continue your storyline with Alexa Bliss, but if Alexa Bliss was technically possessed by the Fiend,
right?
Like, what do you do now? She just takes over that Fiend role, and how do you bring in somebody else who's like going to try to exorcise the demon? You know,
that's what I would hope for at some point.
You know, like what's going to happen there?
Because, I mean, they got to eventually change your character back to, you know, something a little more less goofy and spooky and something a little more real.
I'm telling you, I hate that. She makes eye contact with you and now she's got you under her spell. You know, that's like, come on.
I love the goofy theater of professional wrestling sometimes.
I love it's some just, of it sometimes too, but this one, it's not getting over on me.
Yeah.
I guess.
All right, well, now that we've talked wrestling, let's take another break here on Nerd Radio. When we come back, I've got some video game news for you guys, and I've got some news that I know Al Beck is going to be interested in, some time travel-y news, if you will.
Oh.
That's coming up next. It's Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
It's another week of the Nerd Radio Podcast on WRIF.com. But if you don't want to go there, you can always go to our website, nerdradio101.com. Make sure
Al just directs you to WRIF.com.
Make sure Al Beck's getting his money's worth.
Yes.
Get you your money's worth, Al.
Yeah, my domain just recently renewed, so that's another year that I own it and Chuck doesn't.
Oh, my goodness.
The tax write-off for Al.
Yep. Yeah.
If only I was smart enough to know how to do that.
I think you just, yeah, you just take it to an accountant and you tell them, hey.
Yeah, exactly.
I paid $12 for this year.
Yeah, so we're back with a little bit more Nerd Radio. Let's talk about some video games because we haven't gotten to that yet as far as Nerd Radio content is concerned. This past weekend was a free-to-play weekend for Marvel Avengers. They made a couple of changes to the game to try and make it a little more user-friendly.
Is it going
to
suck me back in, Chuck?
Maybe. I know that over the weekend, they increased the experience. You got like 4 times experience while you were playing.
Oh.
So it made it easier to level up faster, which was kind of cool. But they brought back, I can't remember exactly what the name of it is, but they brought back the ability to basically play the same character as somebody else is playing on a team.
Okay,
which they
so
did
you
like
both
a month
could
or two
Iron
ago.
Man or whatever.
Exactly.
You could have two Captain Americas.
I had a team at one point that was 3 Miss Marvels and a Thor.
Oh, wow.
Which was really kind of...
3 Miss Marvels and a Thor. Sign me up for that. Foursome?
Friggin' 3 stretchy teenagers just beating up AIM agents. Yeah. It was really, really funny. And that's cool. But the reason they did that to try and get people to buy the game, because the War for Wakanda, the Black Panther... stuff is coming out on August 17th.
Okay, wow, it's right around the corner then.
Yep, exactly. Which is funny because I think this week is the 1 year anniversary of the game.
Wow, has it been out for that long already?
And they still haven't put Spider-Man in it, even though
he was one of the rumors from the get-go.
There's a sticker on my thing saying that he's exclusive to the PlayStation. And he's still not in the game.
That's crazy because that's one of the reasons why I bought it, too.
Right.
Was to be able to play as Spider-Man when other people won't be able to.
Yeah. But, Black Panther is coming. I think it's August 17th. And the guy who voices Kratos from God of War is actually going to be the voice of Black Panther.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That guy is Christopher Judge, I think.
I think you're right.
And he was in Stargate SG-1.
Chris Judge. Yep. Correctly.
Yeah. He was Tilk in Stargate. That's cool.
He said he did an interview with Entertainment Weekly about a month ago about it, and he said he turned it down straight away. And he said he really didn't believe anyone should do T'Challa again after Chadwick Boseman, who passed away. But then as the talks proceeded, basically he wound up doing it because his mother and his children said if he didn't do it, they'd disown him. It's another one of those things where it's like somebody in your family finds out you have the opportunity for a job. He's like, you are doing that.
Yeah,
you hear
right.
that with a lot of actors. I can't remember. There was an older actor that did like one of the Transformers movies or something like that, basically because their kid found out and they're like, you got to do Transformers.
Yeah. We did a whole list like a month or so ago on the morning show that was like jobs actors took because of a family member. And I knew a Harry Potter one that wasn't on the list that we did. The guy who plays Professor Lupin, the teacher who becomes a werewolf.
Yeah.
He had never
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, well, he had never read Harry Potter, didn't care about it, never saw one of the movies, but I think he had kids that were super into it. So when he had a chance to be in the movie, he jumped at it.
Yeah.
You know?
Another video game that I don't think any of us actually play, but is kind of a big deal, is the 14th iteration of Final Fantasy. It's the most recent MMO version.
That's getting I've seen a lot of people tweeting about that game recently.
Yeah, well, what happened is about a month or two ago, a guy who did World of Warcraft frequently.
Asmongold.
Yeah, decided, you know what, I'm kind of bored with World of Warcraft. I'm going to start playing Final Fantasy 14 on stream and see how that works. And a bunch of people jumped over conveniently at the same time that Blizzard, the people who make World of Warcraft, Blizzard, Activision, are going through this, you know.
Oh, that's right.
All the stuff that we talked about last week. But at one point, I don't know if this is still true, but at one point a couple of weeks ago, if you went to buy even a digital copy of Final Fantasy 14, you got put on a waiting list.
Really?
Because the servers are so full of new players and current players, players that have been there forever.
Wow, so they don't have enough space.
They don't have enough space for more players. So if you went and like, I'm going to buy Final Fantasy 14 and download it and then get my subscription and go. No, you have to wait until we have enough space on the servers for you to actually own this game.
What's the name of the Final Fantasy realm?
I don't know. They have a bunch of different servers.
There's just no vacancy there.
Yeah, but
it's like Asgard's closed, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
The permafrost is destroyed, right, or whatever it's called.
But another piece of Final Fantasy 14 news that I thought the Bifrost.
Bifrost. I knew permafrost was wrong, but
the permafrost
was waiting for
somebody to correct me. On your windshield.
I think permafrost is like soil that never thaws in the Arctic.
Oh, okay.
There's your science fact from James.
The permafrost is closed, you John Candy in National Vacation. Yeah. Permafrost is closed, folks.
Howdy, folks. The big moose should have told you the permafrost is closed. Sorry, no entry to Asgard.
But the other piece of Final Fantasy 14 news that's kind of interesting is that they have different jobs that you can be, different character classes that you can have. And one of those jobs, the Sage class, had a cluster of small circles on it. And would actually trigger some users' tryptophobia.
No way.
And they changed it.
Oh, okay.
They find out that after, you know, plenty of people, especially with all these new players coming in, they're like, dude, I can't look at the icon for the Sage class when it's above somebody else's head, because it's just, it creeps me out. It makes me like, that's cool. We'll change it for you.
Is that that's the second time they did a Final Fantasy Online game, right?
Yeah, 11.
11, I think, yeah.
11 was the first one, which ironically is still a thing. The servers are still up. You can still play it. It's still a thing. Nate, who used to be with the Checkpoint XP guys, he now on his channel, Limit Break Radio, on Tuesdays he plays 14, and on Thursdays he plays 11.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny because it looks like a PlayStation 2 game. Like, it's not pretty. But I guess it plays different enough. I've talked to him about it because we do the Super Universe mode over on the Limit Break Radio thing on Saturdays with the WWE 2K19. And I've talked to him about, like, what is it about 11 that keeps you coming back, whereas you could just be playing 14? He's like, they're drastically different games. The gameplay style is drastically different, where one of them may not, you know, scratch a particular itch when it comes to playing an MMO. The other one does.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've always been curious because, you know, I like Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
But I hate online gaming, so
11
and 14 were two that I
When I decided a couple years ago when I got 9 for the Vita because I'd never finished it. And I was like, when I finish 9, then I'm going to find the other ones I haven't played, which at this point is like 10, 12, and 13. And like I have 10, 12, and 13, and I've been playing 10 a little bit on my Switch because that's where I got it. But I want to have played all the Final Fantasy games. Oh,
see, I have no desire to complete any of the Final Fantasies.
Yeah.
I think the one I played the most was 7, and I gave up halfway through that one, even with the strategy guide.
Right.
This is too much. This is too much work. I'm a lazy gamer. Too much time.
It is quite a time sink.
Yeah.
Like, even playing 10 right now, I'm like, man, the first couple hours of this game, like, they move really slow, but they move in one direction. Like, I don't have this open world that I have all this stuff I have to do. Mm-hmm. And I almost appreciate it.
Yeah.
That, you know, like, all the big complaint about, I think, 13 was that it was extremely linear. And, like, dude, I'm super looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I don't have to really think about what's happening. I just keep moving forward.
I feel like all of them have been, like, very, as you put it, linear from... Yeah. 10 up until 15, because 15's got an open world.
Yeah, like right from the get-go, 15 is like go explore.
Yeah,
it's almost like a Fallout game.
Yeah,
go check stuff out. You got a quest that's like, I don't know, 10 minutes that way.
Yeah, I never played 10-2, but I played.
That's why I'm playing. Yeah. That's why I'm playing 10 right now, because I know I've seen the end of 10, but I never played 10-2, and it's like now when you get it, it's a big bundle of like all of it together, and I'm like. Okay, if I'm going to play 10-2, then I probably should play 10 just to remember how that story went.
I think I've only finished a couple of them, but I've played maybe about half of them.
I have the fondest memories of the old Super Nintendo ones. Was it 4 and 6, which were 2 and 3 on the Super Nintendo here?
I've played those with friends back in the day.
Right.
But I still was not that... Like, I don't know, I preferred like Secret of Mana.
Yeah, a little more action.
Yeah, because you had a little more control.
Yep.
I wasn't like a huge fan of like the turn-based, like waiting, okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to do that with this guy. And then I'd always forget to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I forgot to cast a spell or whatever I was supposed to do. And then
I
would lose and be very upset. And I also hated the fact that you never knew when you're going to end up in a battle.
Yeah, you're just walking around the map and then all of a sudden it's...
like, oh, I don't want to fight right now.
Exactly. I'm trying to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, I got something to do right now.
Damn it.
Yeah, but if you just go point A to point B, then
usually you're underleveled.
You're in trouble.
Speaking of games where people can't get into them, there is a new multiplayer game that is basically a mix of Halo and Portal.
Ooh!
It's called Splitgate, and it's currently in its open beta.
Nice.
It's cross-platform. It's on the PlayStation, it's on the Xbox, and it's on Steam.
Okay.
Apparently, getting into a game right now is a little difficult because they only have so much space on their servers, once again, for this. They didn't expect to get the reaction that they have.
So it sounds fairly successful then.
Yeah, it's free to play, which is fantastic.
Splitgate?
Yeah, Splitgate. And it was supposed to come out July 27th, but the testing went so well that you can, like I said, it's in open beta right now. And it looks great. It does, like, the gameplay looks literally like Halo. But then you've also got the ability to, like, set portals, just like in the game Portal, and, like, you know, teleport across the map or shoot into a portal and have it come out, you know,
and
the other side.
This is like is it like a battle royale? Is it like just a multiplayer, like player versus player?
I think it looks like it's, once again, cribbing from Halo, it looks like you've got some capture the flag action and you've got some team-based multiplayer action.
It looks excellent, just looking at images and screenshots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched the gameplay trailer. It's about a minute and 15 before you guys came in here this morning, and I was like, this looks great. This looks like a fun time. Speaking of fun times, I did splurge on the season pass for Pokemon Unite.
Did you?
Did.
Oh, you broke down and got
Over the weekend, I was like, you know what? I got like $13 in credit on my Switch anyways, there, and it's like $8 to get the season pass. Yeah. I'm a pay for this.
Nice.
I'm having a good time.
So did you get any bonus Pokemon?
You don't get any bonus Pokemon, but you do get like skins for the Pokemon. Like the reason to get the season pass is the very first thing it unlocks is a hip hop Pikachu.
There you go. I was going to say, can you get like Pikachu in a smoking jacket and a pipe?
He's got like a little jumper and
a hat.
Well,
now that's how you get me.
Yeah.
The pipe.
He watches MASH.
Yes,
you know what? A couple of weeks ago, we watched The Hobbit, the first Hobbit movie that they did after they did the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah.
The live-action Hobbit. Obviously, I've seen the cartoon Hobbit. I grew up with it. Mm-hmm. That movie, I really like that a lot. I'm looking forward to watching that, too.
Great adventure
lies
just ahead.
Bilbo Baggins. But while
I wonder how many people know what the hell we're talking about.
Nothing.
Well, I'll tell you, somebody who doesn't.
Men.
I'm one of them.
Yep.
I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, but I feel like these nerds are
But I had to.
In some sort of a language that I don't understand.
We watched it because Amy's seen the Hobbit movies, and she's a big fan of those. So it was okay. One of those weird reversals where I hadn't
seen
the movie.
Seen it and
she
did. Yeah, that is very bizarre.
Because most of the time it's the reverse. But while we were watching it, watching all the dwarves after they get done with dinner, and they all got the pipes, the Gandalf pipes. And I'm like, how do you not have a Gandalf pipe? You love these Hobbit movies. You smoke every day.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
The pipe's getting packed right now. Now, is there a character singing this in the movie, or this is just the music that comes out?
The music.
Isn't this the band America?
I'm not sure.
If I remember correctly. Because the song I was singing was a song that, Spock did the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins.
Oh, right.
But that wasn't in the movie.
Huh. Yeah, takes me back to my childhood.
Right, that was an ugly animation style too.
Oh,
have
you ever seen the cartoon?
Yeah, if you ever seen the cartoon Hobbit movie from
it's
like
been a long,
was it 79, 80, 81 or something like that?
Yeah, it's 70s for sure.
It's kind of a horrific animation style.
I feel like they used to play it on Nickelodeon, like old school Nickelodeon,
sure
in parts. So you'd have to like tune in like for a whole week.
See. They'd play like a half hour of the Hobbit.
Yeah.
At 3:30
of those. This was always my favorite, though. Actually, from Return of the King. Did you see the Return of the King? That same, yeah.
That movie's crazy because it's one of those. I think it's called.
All the orcs are marching.
Yep.
These are legitimate scenes from the movie, or this is like a meme? Okay.
I don't know if I can turn my computer screen over.
Okay, again.
Watch all day.
Yeah, no, it was the middle movie, because that's Return of the King, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was the middle movie that was like rotoscoped, where they just like film scenes and then animate over top of them.
Okay.
And it was very strange.
Yeah, that one was creepy looking. Yeah, we had all three of them growing up, and they did The Hobbit that looked a little more cartoony. It was the same style that I just showed you, James. And then they had one that was The Lord of the Rings. That was like the Fellowship and half of the Two Towers.
Yep.
And then it just jumped to the Return of the King.
Yeah.
I never knew if they were related or not, those three.
I should look that up. I'm sure there's a story behind that.
Yeah, I don't know.
And at this point in history, somebody must have told it.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, I don't even know how we got down that, but once you mentioned the cartoon Hobbit, man.
Because I thought of the pipe, the Gandalf pipe, and I'm how do you not have a Gandalf pipe? But she explained the science of why. A Gandalf pipe doesn't work if you're smoking the marijuana. So, Jodie Whittaker leaving Doctor Who.
That's a bummer, man. I thought she was really good.
Yeah, on one hand, I'm like, man, that's a bummer. But on the other hand, I think I watched one season and she's done three of them so far.
Really?
Yeah, I've never gone back and like caught up with what's going on with Doctor Who. But they also say that this next season is going to be one story. Like the original Doctor Who's, where they would just do one story.
Okay.
And it would be like 6, 8, 12 episodes of just one story. That's what they're doing with this season.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that'll be kind of neat. And the last thing I've got for you, Al, I saw this over the weekend and thought that this was very interesting. The gun that killed Billy the Kid is going up for auction. The people who
Pat Garrett's old gun?
I'm assuming.
I'm pretty sure it was Pat Garrett who shot him.
Yeah, Sheriff Pat Garrett. Correct.
Oh,
there you go.
Wow. Look at that.
History
the
nerd.
The big brain on Al.
But NPR was reporting this, so that's why I thought of you. They said that the Billy the Kid's actual gun had in 2008 had gone up for auction and sold for $64,000. Any guesses on what you think this particular...
The one that shot Billy the Kid?
Yeah, a piece of history is going to go up for?
Oh, God.
Now you need that Price is Right music.
I know. I thought about that, but it's, you know... I don't know, because I feel... I'm not even sure whether to go to higher or lower or around the same.
Right.
And I'm, like, justifying every option in my brain.
I'll give you a hint. It's higher.
Oh, so it did sell.
It didn't sell, but like the what
the projection,
what they're projecting, and what the starting bid
just
is.
Just give it around 100,000
higher.
150
higher.
200
higher.
Holy crap! Just tell me.
Starting bid is 2 million. They expect to get somewhere from 3 to 5 million.
I was going to go 50 G's at a time.
thank God you just let him know. It would have been here all day.
Days.
2 million. Huh?
Days.
Wow.
I wonder if those things, I wonder if it still works. I wonder if anyone's even bothered to try.
Those type of guns probably could work.
Yeah.
Because it's not as many moving parts.
Right. Because like looking at the picture of it, like it looks like it's been kept in really good condition and it looks like, you know, super good craftsmanship kind of thing. But then you also hear that like in the Old West, sometimes a gun would just explode in your hand.
Sure.
If you got like, you know, a crappy $5 gun.
Yeah. Probably depends too on how well you keep it up.
Yeah.
You know? Would you even be able to find ammo that would work with
you could make it.
That's a good point.
You could probably make it. Okay. Like
I'm not going to try my own handmade bullet.
Yeah. It's like but a lot of people who are like, who really know stuff about guns can like reuse casings and stuff. Like they could make their own. I mean, find at like a Dunham's? No, probably not. But,
right.
You know, you get someone like who's going to spend $2 million on a gun could probably.
It would be funny to walk into a Dunham's and be like, I need bullets for this weapon.
For this. Clink.
What can you do for me?
You're like Tuco from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
He's like, do you have ammo for this?
Yeah, exactly.
Putting it on the counter.
Wow.
Do you know Gene Hackman retired from acting?
No.
Like, he's still alive. I just saw a tweet with a picture of him from, like, a couple of days ago. They said he decided 17 years ago that he was done. He was like, I'm good. I made enough money.
So what, he did Enemy of the State, and then he was like, peace out?
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm trying to think what I've seen him in after
I thought of him because he was in The Quick and the Dead, which is a Sam Raimi Western, which is one of my favorite Westerns.
Quick and the Dead, it's actually legit.
Amazing, amazing Western.
Leonardo DiCaprio's in it? Sharon Stone?
Yep. But he was also in Unforgiven. With Clint Eastwood, he was in that one. He was kind of the bad guy in that one.
Didn't really
see. Welcome to Moonsport was the last thing he was in. That was 2004.
Yeah,
Runaway Jury, Behind Enemy Lines.
He was Lex Luthor in Superman.
Yeah,
yeah. Royal Tenenbaums, Heist, Heartbreakers. This is just these are all the most recent things he did. In The Mexican. Yeah.
No, he had a huge career.
Yeah,
a great career for a long time.
The Replacements.
I'd
love to be in a position where I can just be like, you know what? I don't need to get up in the
morning
and
exactly.
go do the show anymore.
I would say that at least 87% of James's energy is spent on that very dream.
He's not lying. He's not lying. I started looking into retirement money yesterday, and I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to be working for a while.
Yeah, well, that's what I was – that's also what I thought.
The other
13%
of his energy is spent growing weed.
Growing weed and trying to procure rare dongs.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I heard that Ric Flair had been released. I was like, I mean, does he not have enough money?
No, he does not.
Yeah, that's the problem is that he doesn't.
He spends
his money like Ric Flair, and that's the problem.
We had looked up his net worth, and this came up on the morning show, and it came out to about 500 Gs.
Yeah.
But I just recently, going through the Broken Skull sessions, watched his episode, and he was talking about how he's finally okay.
Yeah.
But just, he doesn't blame anyone but himself, because they were all based on decisions that he made.
Right.
But he was bankrupt. Like, he had no money. It was all gone.
Yeah.
You know, so...
I keep waiting to hear one of these released wrestlers, do an interview or something like that and be like, I don't actually ever have to work again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, between merchandise sales and action figures and video game checks and, I only had the Intercontinental title a few times, but, like, I didn't spend my money on a bunch of garbage either.
It was wise.
Bought a house and a car, and I'm good. Dean Ambrose, John Moxley, was actually one of those guys when he left the WWE before he went to AEW that was like, I don't honestly have to work again. Like, I'd
love to be able to say that.
I will because I want to do cool stuff. But yeah me too. I just want to take. I mean, we kind of got it with COVID last year, but I just want to take a year and just like play my games.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just finish all the games that are
pursue your passions.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's Nerd Radio. So we can go and pursue some of our passion and go play some more Pokemon Unite.
Chuck can go pursue a nap.
Yeah. Make sure you guys follow us on social media at Nerd Radio 101. And meet us back here on Checkpoint XP's Twitch stream. We record the shows every Wednesday afternoon around 11:30 at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We'll talk to you guys next week. Enjoy Suicide Squad. And, yeah, that's all I got.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you nerds.
This Transformer is cool.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
The future's stupid, guys. I'm sorry, but it is.
I have spoken.
Can you give me a little bit more of The Greatest Adventure?
Oh, I already closed it down.
Oh, damn it. All right.
Sorry.
Sing it yourself, a cappella.
The greatest adventure
is what lies ahead.
And with that, we'll end the stream. Thanks for watching, everybody, on Twitch.
Thanks,
appreciate you being here. And bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.